Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Free on the Inside, your host, Minister Joel Lewis, internet program to inform you, to encourage you, to challenge you to be all you could be. We on each Saturday morning. The time is from 8 to 9. That call-in number where you too could be a part of this great show, is that number is 310-982-4126. And I like to just give a few advertisements right now. This show is sponsored by Granny's Place Ministry. Granny's Place Ministry is a nonprofit ministry that's meeting the needs of our at-risk young men and women. Granny's Place Ministry is located in the Duncanville area. You can see what we're doing and what we're all about by going to our website. That's grannyplaceministry.org. And Beverly Beasley is the CEO and the sponsor of Granny's Place Ministry. At this time, I'd just like to say thank you for being a part of this show here. We're going into our seventh year. And thank you for your support, thank you for your words of encouragement, and thank you for your fresh ideas. And we're going to continue that format here. We have a great guest this morning that's on the line this morning, and he's going to come on here, and he's going to share with us what Doug says, the Lord, and what he's doing. We have Dr. Michael Flemings is going to be on our show this morning. He's on the line right now, and he's going to come on and tell us about some programs and ministry, which he's in, a part of. So I ask you to lend your listen ear, give us your opinion at our call-in number at the appropriate time, and then you too can make this show what it's supposed to be, about informing, encouraging, and challenging you to be about our Father's business. The next voice you'll hear will be Dr. Michael Fleming. Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning, Mr. Lewis. How are you?
I'm doing great. Welcome to our show. Straight into our show here. Thank you. Thank you for continually to make yourself available on these mornings. And I always come on the program with some insightful information, information we can use. And so we like to continue that format and keep us up to date on what's going on. Because let's face it, sometimes we want to be involved in things, but we just don't know where to start. Maybe today could be a starting point for someone, some organization.
Amen, amen. Well, Minister Lewis, I thank God for the opportunities that I and others are afforded through programs and efforts such as yours. And, you know, it's an honor, and I'm always thrilled to serve and to help you promote the cause of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I'm going to talk a little bit this morning about some things that are being proposed and why, and the expected outcome and impact. You know, Dallas has become one of the largest urban areas in the country to have 37% or more of its citizens living in or under poverty. And that's astounding, considering the fact that we are second only to New York when it comes to corporate headquarters and the number of billionaires, let alone millionaires, that exist here. And to have such a broad spectrum of opportunities and potentials, and yet have people still unable to rise and to live that life that, you know, Jesus died for us, is a shame and questionable.
So yes, it is. Yes, it
there
is.
Are a couple, yeah, there are a couple of organizations who have, come together to address some of these what we call systemic issues or problems. And the thing that's really exciting and surprising is that these organizations are basically spearheaded and primarily consisted of churches, faith-based organizations, and Christians who have decided that they want to make a difference and that we're called to transform communities by having lives transformed through a loving relationship with Jesus Christ. And faith in Texas is a key one. And you know, it's exciting to be around men and women of faith who have decided to stand in the gap and to be bold enough to address what we call an oppressive system. So there are three things that we're working on right now. There's a fourth, but it comes under one of the other three. And I'm going to start a little bit real quickly and summarize them. One is bail reform. It's an issue that is very pervasive and oftentimes unrecognized and unthought of. And some of the research has been done by, you know, some of the key people and other organizations in terms of assessing some of the causes of economic blight and deprivation has to do with our criminal justice system. And one is bail reform, that, you know, there are nearly a dozen localities in, you know, states like Alabama, Mississippi, Missouri, and now Texas, where we have numerous people who are encountering our system, whether they are guilty of a crime or not, but have been arrested for one.
Hey, and tell us something about this, Dr. Fleming. Tell us something about this bail reform that people are not aware of. When you know, we say, hey, loved ones in jail, we're going to go out and put them in bail. What are some of the negative drawbacks of the bail system that we may not be aware of? We may think that we're powerless against.
Well, one is that even though we have a system that allows personal bonds, very few individuals ever receive a personal bond who are financially challenged. You know, a pretrial detention or release. And, you know, it's very difficult to defend yourself against an accusation if you've been arrested and then detained physically or incarcerated. You're limited. You have limited access to support as well as resources. And so there are unusually high numbers of what we call economic challenged individuals or people who are suffering from sufficient, you know, financial means and the ability to pay bail, therefore they sit in jail. And that number increases. Not only is the cost detrimental for them, because it's requiring, if they had it, money that they need for themselves or for their family, but it also costs those citizens who are not being arrested or detained. The cost of manning and maintaining the system, the processing and of inmates coming in, the maintenance and upkeep is tremendous. And that requires taxpayers, takes away from schools, takes away from the amenities in our communities and so forth. And plus, it's just not fair. It's unjust that you are restricted in your ability to defend yourself against accusations, because you can't afford the bail, and because you're denied pretrial detention or personal bonds.
Okay, so, okay. And then tell me another thing before we go on that bail reform, because I'm trying to get this here out. Now, you're saying that what are some of the things that we're trying to, as we said, jail reform, what are some of the things that you want to reform in the bailing process? Is it because of the funds or the way they grade things? What's one of the key factors that we that you're attempting to bring to the forefront regarding the jail reform?
Well, one is that we assume that there are people who have put in place a system to protect, you know, citizens and those in our community, and that they have the best intentions, but may be misguided and lacking in some information. So one of the first things that you have to do in any initiative such as this is that there's a process of identifying where the gap in knowledge is, and then to make sure you do the necessary research, you get the facts, and then that you create relationships that allow you the opportunity to share information and to further educate those who are in these decision-making positions. So we've been working and have been fairly successful in developing relationships with our policymakers, and specifically our county judges. So that's the first thing. And once you're able to gain access where you can begin to share information, you got to make sure that what you're sharing is relevant. So we have four things that we're trying to do as we begin to dialogue with our elected officials, and specifically our county judges. One is that pretrial risk assessments should be, you know, implemented based on proven best practices or what we call research that can better identify who needs to be detained and who doesn't. Right? Who's a danger to the community, in essence? Too many of the individuals who are being detained are nonviolent and non-threatening individuals. Two, that the instrument developed to conduct these kinds of information gatherings and assessment should equitably classify, you know, defendants regardless of their race, ethnicity, gender, or financial status. Okay. Three,
okay,
that we identify factors that can be utilized in this assessment process, and that, again, it be consistently applied, and that there's some means or some process of accountability to ensure that those things have been done. And then the fourth one, and the final one, is that we have factors that should limit, you know, those who are, you know, related either to high risk or to appear to be a danger, as opposed to others, and then share that information also with the community. Okay. Simple things, none are mind-boggling. There are things that don't require a whole lot of financial outlay, and that are easily implemented and maintained.
Okay. Yeah, that's so true.
Right, and we think that all the elements are in place for these things to take. To be taken into consideration and implemented. And our initial discussions with our policymakers have been extremely positive. And we're meeting this morning from 10 to 1 to continue our dialogue and to further work on how and what needs to be implemented. So bail reform. And there are task force or individuals from various churches who make up Faith in Texas who have, you know, taken the lead to initiate and to, you know, gather and compile and then work on disseminating that within the community and specifically to those churches who want to be involved but don't know what they can do and how to do it. Because we really want other churches. We want to allow opportunities for all people of faith, all church organizations, to play, you know, a part in addressing those things that hurt and limit our citizens. Okay? The second initiative is something that's been ongoing not only here but across the country, and that's a reevaluation of our sentencing practices. You know, here in America, let alone Texas, we sentence people for nonviolent crimes at a rate higher than almost any other industrialized nation in the world, and our starting sentences are some of the most heinous, usually about 10 years. And so we think that we need to take a close look at that, because we got more than 150,000 people in Texas, people serving time at TDC for nonviolent crimes.
Okay.
Don't pose any threat, yet they are being sentenced and punished as if they're murderers. Okay? So, you know, we're looking for reforming by what? Reducing penalties for nonviolent and minor drug possession. And that initiative has already gained a lot of steam across the state, specifically as it relates to things like marijuana, where
yeah,
there'd be citation issues as opposed to jail time and so forth.
That is so true. That is so true. Before you go on, we just on the news just a couple of days ago, the president, he pardoned a few hundred people because of a minor offense that had been incarcerated for years. So that's a very, very important fact that you brought up, and a needed, man, for us to reform that in, because, you know, they would throw the key away, as you say, regarding something like that, a minor violation that's now becoming legal. It's legal almost.
Exactly.
It's legal in some places now. But yet some people are still serving time for something they done when they were a teenager, a young adult.
And it's unfortunate that that's, you know, all too often the case. We have a situation similar to what you're talking about, and that's Sandra Bland. It led to the Sandra Bland Act, you know, no arrest for, non-jailable offenses. Right? And what has to take place, Mr. Joel, is that oftentimes the public at large is unaware of some of these kinds of situations, and oftentimes can't put a face and can't personalize these kinds of things. And so, you know, with the Cedric Bland Act, that is one of the major attempts, is to counteract what we call the negative characterization that oftentimes you see through the popular media, where they depict, you know, only the most heinous crimes and then project that to those who haven't committed those kind of crimes. And so the public at large is by, you know, primarily thinking that, you know, all crimes are the same. And I'm not saying it's conscious, but the attitude is there, you know, nevertheless. So when we begin to personalize and be able to tell people stories and give the whole truth, as we're required to do as Christians, people begin to become better informed and recognize that what sometimes is being projected isn't always the true projection of people who have been arrested and who are being detained. So, again, that has already taken made significant inroads across the state, because this is one area that isn't necessarily always related to just people of poverty. Okay, and so telling that story. But getting back to the thing about sentencing reform, reducing the penalties for nonviolent and minor drug possessions through education and advocacy, not only by us, but as you mentioned, the president addressed this issue. The president was one of the first sitting presidents to ever what? Go to a prison, inside and so forth. So that lets us know that it isn't just something we're concerned with, that from the top as well as from the bottom, there's a movement towards the center, and that's what's required to bring about change. Okay? And
amen.
The benefits include, you know, preventing numbers of people from being sent to prison, families being broken up, financial resources being utilized to detain people as opposed to enhance our communities, provide better funding and resources for the schools, for the education of our children, which is a key issue oftentimes in breaking that cycle of crime or what we call socially unacceptable, you know, behavior. Right? And then to address probation. It is absolutely mind-boggling, not only the number of people on probation, but the cost of probation. Okay? And so how can we better utilize that probation? Because the purpose is honorable. It is to provide not only oversight to ensure that when someone isn't in prison, but given community supervision and so on and so forth, that we're doing the right thing, all right? And that we're not just releasing people and not assuring ourselves as well as the community that these individuals are non-threatening and not a danger. Okay? So that means, one, we have to have better training, okay, that our public officials and our public servants have the resources and support they need so they're not stressed out and overworked because they have these ungodly caseloads that require them to do what we call just what, perfunctional kinds of things, as opposed to developing relationships, getting to know the individuals that they're working with and how best to help them address those areas where they're struggling and to get them the things they need in order to better their situation and become what we all want, and that's a contributing member to society. And then what we want as faith-based people, come into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and what he offers us to live the life that he died for. So, one, technical violations need to be seriously reviewed so that things like failing to have a job because of the obstacles associated with that, and that being seen as incorrigible or your unwillingness to work and do what other people do. Making sure that things like change of address, which sometimes can be misconstrued where there is an unintentional forgetting of notifying your probation officer as opposed to intentionally, you know, disobeying your probation officer. And as a result, being sent back to prison because you moved yesterday but didn't tell your probation until today.
Okay? That is so true. That is so true. A little minor infraction like that can just violate your probation. And there's some things that, and I'm glad to hear you talk about the jail reform with bail reform and some of the ins and outs that we need to be aware of. Well, right now we have our phone line is coming online. Here is lighting up. We have several people who might want to ask you a question or two. So we're going to pause here for a minute and go to the phone line and allow you to address some of these issues before we go any further.
Yes, sir. Because
you get us some good things here. And now, call-in number is 310-982-4126. You, too, can call in and be a part of this great show. Our guest this morning is Dr. Michael Fleming. He's talking about faith in Texas. And up under that umbrella, at this time, we're talking about jail reform and how to be involved in the community and the life of God people, how to reach the unsaved through Christian activity, through Christian events, just being a follower of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So right now,
Amen. We're
going to open the phone lines up. And Dr. Fleming is going to answer any questions. And please make your question brief to the doctor, and then we'll get back to this great show. He got a lot of information he'd like to share with us, and we want to get as much as we can out of it. Good morning, caller. You're on the net. Brother Daniel. Good morning, Brother Daniel. You're on the net.
How you been doing?
I'm doing great. We have Dr. Fleming on the line. Would you care to ask him a question or just want to listen in?
You about doggy?
Yes, he's on the line now.
Hello?
Yes, Brother Daniel.
How are you doing today, man?
I'm doing great. We have Dr. Fleming on the line. Would you care to ask him a question, or you just want to listen to the program?
Yeah, I asked him a question.
Okay, go right ahead, sir.
Okay, how are you doing today, Dr. Fleming?
I'm doing wonderful, my brother. Good to hear from you and see that you're being a continued supporter of Minister Lewis and his program.
Okay, for the question today, you know, we got a new president in the White House, and there's the old president, you know, he's made a lot of legal reforms and legal stuff he did. You know, he put a whole lot of people out of jails, out of federal penitentiaries, I believe. And he sent them back into the, you know, society. So in the next 2 or 3 weeks, I think they're supposed to be displaced in these neighborhoods around in Dallas. So what do you suggest that, you know, lawmakers or people that hold in high esteem that have employment or different social services, what should you think they should do in order to direct and control this cycle of getting reincarcerated in the penitentiary system? You know, that's one of the main things that President Trump addressed at his inaugural address today. He said about, you know, us trying to get the inner cities back together again. And then last week when he really picked one particular person that we really held in high esteem, like Steve Harvey, everybody, you know, started labeling them, you know, being Uncle Toms and they getting being puppets. But basically, if you just understand that a person that has the power to manipulate people's minds like an entertainer has, like Steve Harvey, you know, that's a good choice. You know what I'm saying? Why would he basically go get some white guy that basically we can't relate to and then start talking, you know, just say no. You know, it just don't relate, you know? So should you suggest should be done?
Okay, that's a good question, Brother Daniel. We're going to give Dr. Fleming a chance to address that, okay? So just hold on. You gave him quite a bit to work with there. So Dr. Flemings, what is your take on what Brother Daniel just asked you?
Well, I think the first thing, at least for me, is pretty obvious, and it assumes to me that it's also information that Brother Daniel is also aware of. It's what he's doing. Is one is to be aware, to be informed about, you know, the problems and the attempts to solve the problems, and then two, getting involved. Getting involved. When we, I said acquiesce, when we become pew sitters, or another word for that would be spectators, when we're looking and only talking about, if we're talking about it, nothing changes. But when we're looking, learning, talking, planning, and then implementing a set of strategies to address it through advocacy, which means that we recognize our power, not only individually, but collectively, things are set in motion and change can occur. Why? Because something's already changed. So programs like this, people like you, Minister Lewis, and you, Brother Daniels, who are sharing the information and then trying to identify where you think that you can best fit in with those organizations or those movements, and I'm talking about grassroots movements, because that's where change comes from, not from the top, but from the bottom. And then take action. Like this morning, we have a group of people from various churches who have been meeting with our legislative officials and policymakers for the last 2 or 3 months and have made them aware and have been assigned or allowed to have a voice and to be involved. Now the challenge is on us is to be committed, to see it through, and to make sure that when we talk about something and when we're presenting things to people, that we're presenting something that makes sense, okay, that has valid facts and documentation and stuff to support it, and then pushing that agenda forward. Everything has to have a beginning. Okay? Some of the things that's happening right now with addressing some of the people's concerns about what's happening at the top and how it's going to affect us down here is letting people know that really nothing has really changed, except there may be someone that we don't understand, but it's here in Texas. Our policies and our legislation that impacts us more than anything that comes down from the federal. And we have oftentimes overlooked that. That's why legislative advocacy for the next 2 or 3 months, as we prepare, we're going to be going to Austin to meet with our legislators to request an opportunity to give feedback and input, because the legislative session is getting ready to come up. And we're inviting
Go ahead.
So we're inviting other people to come out. You know, it's a little sad sometimes when we have opportunities like we have this Saturday morning, and the only people coming are the same people who have been coming. It's kind of like being in church and you're preaching, and you look out there one day and you realize that the people you're preaching to are the people you've been preaching to for the last 4 or 5 years, and there's no addition. There's no increasing of my territories. Scripture tells us that we're blessed. Now, be fruitful, which means he's given us something to work with. We're not talentless, and we're not ignorant. And then we have power from the Holy Spirit to be change agents and transformers. Okay? And so we need to exercise that. And so we're trying to figure out not only how to impact the system through our legislative process, but how do we get more people to recognize the power that they have and that we need them collectively so that we can show that the people are going to hold those people who are elected in a government that is by the people, of the people, and for the people. So the people need to show up and speak up and take up.
I like that. That's good. That's some good stuff there, Doctor. we thank you for addressing some of the questions that Brother Daniel brought up here. And you hit on some valid points that we need to be involved. Now, tell us about some people that say, hey, I like what I'm hearing. I want to be involved. I want to know more of this. How can they get in touch with you or some of the programs which you're sharing with us today, that Faith in Texas and the Bail Reform initiative that you're putting forward?
One way that they can get in touch with me real easy is through you and through your network. And so they can always call you and people associated with your program to get information about people on your program. They can call me at area code 214-900-4179, and I'd be more than happy to share. They can go specifically to the website, you know, www.faithintexas.org and www.livefreeusa, which is an arm, an extension of Faith in Texas. That's www.faithintexas.org and www.livefreeusa. That's the website for the two organizations that are taking the lead for acting as a conduit between our elected officials and our criminal justice system and the community. And they can go look to Unite the Church, which is also an organization that's working to increase faith-based people and organizations into what we call social and economic advocacy, to ensure what? That the people have a voice and that the people are involved. So they can call me, 214-900-4179. They can go straight to the site of www.faithintexas or www.livefreeusa. And those two websites will give you all the key contact people, the agenda, the information, but more importantly, not only how you can get involved, but why it's so important for you to get involved. And that will begin the process of the movement towards becoming active and exercising your rights to hold our elected officials accountable to the people.
Oh, that is so true. That is so true. Because sometimes we see some injustice and we feel like that we are powerless. But you tell us we have power, that we can be involved in and go down and petition and get involved in organizations and other program that is making a difference in our legal system and criminal justice. Brother, I call you my brother, but Dr. Michael Fleming, I want to thank you for what you've been doing. You've been doing this for quite a while, and you hadn't gave up or given out, and you continue to stay engaged. I want you to make mention of the meeting that you're going to today and encourage someone to say, hey, that's right around the corner from me. I'm in that neighborhood. I want to find out more. What time is your meeting? What are some of the things that's going to be shared at the meeting for the Faith in Texas that someone that may be excited about but just don't know where to start?
Well, the meeting is going to convene at 12 o'clock today, 10 to 1. It's being, again, as I said, sponsored by Faith in Texas, the particular committee or vehicle that's responsible for carrying out the meeting is the Live Free team, and the agenda is to is about building Faith in Texas, our coalition, and to share information about the process for addressing and getting a hearing with our elected officials, and even providing the opportunity to get into some role playing. But we have some what we call policy issues. And you know, we already mentioned some of Banda Box, being small on crime, but sentence reduction, and so forth, and reform on our probation system. But also housing, the need for substance abuse treatment, reentry programs that provide a bridge from nowhere to somewhere for those who are in our society, resources that are necessary to make those things a reality. we have some meetings scheduled over the next 2 or 3 months with our judges, many who are also proposing reforms because their courts are overloaded, and they're seeing people coming back time and time again with any real, you know, significant change because of the lack of real significant support and resources. And they're wanting to reduce that caseload and to provide opportunities for people to avoid the criminal justice system. The location is on Mockingbird, and I'm pulling up the address in hopes that we will get people coming.
Okay. Now, while you pull up that address here, I'm just going to make a few comments on what you said, and when you're ready with that address, you just let me know. Now, Dr. Fleming is very active and very invested in what he's sharing. We ask you to take this opportunity to put the information that he's going to share with us to use. It's a shame to say that we're going around and we feel powerless, but yet you can be empowered. You know, a few months ago we had a chance to select a president, and some of us are feel lost and without hope, but yet we know our hope relies in Jesus. But if we're being better informed, we can make better decisions, and so we want to encourage you to take advantage of not only the information he gives you, but the information that all our guests, we're more than just a talk program. We're an informational show. Yeah, we pray that the information that we're sharing with you is information that you could use and that you apply. As Dr. Fleming stated earlier, anytime you would like more information about our guests or any of the past programs, please give me a call. This number you can reach me at off air is 214-505-6526. That's been my number for quite a while, so please use it. Again, that number is 214-505-6526, and you can give me a call and ask me about some of the guests that's on there or just on some of the past shows. And it's very easy to get to our Blog Talk Network. You just type in blogtalk.com / Free on the Inside Lewis, and that'll bring up that app with all our archive shows. So please take advantage of it. You can go to the website, Facebook, Free on the Inside Lewis, and it'll pull you up all the information, things that we're involved in. We're involved in the jail, prison, and juvenile ministry and programs, encouraging our young men. We're more than just going out there sharing the good news of Christ Jesus, which is a great starting point, but also what you're going to do after all this. You know, even Jesus, he commanded me, hey, you've seen what I've been able to do. Now you go out and you do more. And they said, more than Jesus? But how can I give somebody sight that's blind? Not so much as a physical sight, but a spiritual sight. As a spiritual sight. How can I feed somebody? You can't feed a person day by day, but you give them the word of God and teach them how to feed themselves. You know, you got this thing all wrong if you just say, I'm powerless. He gave us all power and also surround us. You know, Hebrews 12 said, you've been surrounded by such greater cloud of witnesses. Now you too could lay down all that weight and sin. Guess what? You got somebody that feel like you do. That's on the line there, Brother Fleming. Then you got myself, Minister Lewis. You got Brother Daniel. You got a whole host of people that seen the illness and the sin of this world, and they're binding together to make a difference. So you can make a difference. Minister Fleming, you had that information for me.
I had information. And then I want to, you know, ask you to help me do something before we end the show. You know, oftentimes I come in on your program and I talk about, you know the organizations and the issues that we're addressing and the needs and so forth. And I don't really take the time to share with you why we do this.
Okay.
You know, it is one because we're called, but also the joy and the sense of purpose for why we're here when we see lives change and it becomes personalized. The stories, the success stories. And so I want to make sure that I talk about a person that has really taken me and some others by surprise because we had sold that person short. And really hadn't given that person due credit because we were somewhat biased. So I want to make sure I mention that person and the program they have at a nonprofit. Okay? But the address for the 10 o'clock meeting from 10 to 1 is 1111, that's 1111, West Mockingbird, here in Dallas. Okay? And it's on the top floor of a building that has a saying or a name across the top, track colors. Okay, so it's the 74 of 1111 West Mockingbird here in Dallas, and the building has on the side of it tricolor, and that's what we need today. And this organization, as I said, Faith in Texas, less than 3 months ago, was a group of volunteers basically coming together, seriously committed to the cause of Christ by esteeming others and what? Taking the gospel where it was needed.
Yeah.
And as a result of things are changing, they have gotten funding. Now, many of the volunteers now are part of a paid staff doing the same thing they were doing for no pay because they were committed. Has now become what? Professional opportunity and compensated to address people's needs. And this location is an opportunity for many people to see this particular organization in its new setting and office for the first time. So there are people seriously committed to supporting those who are seriously committed to reaching those who are in need of what we got through Christ. So come out and join us this morning from 10 to 1 at 1111 West Mockingbird. Look at what we're doing and see if you can identify what you're interested in. And if we don't have an issue that you think is relevant, educate us on it. And we're open to addressing those things, and not only what we've identified, but what others are continuing to bring to our attention. Okay? Be a part of it.
That's great. Yeah, that's great. Well, thank you very much for sharing
now,
that.
I want to mention something. It's rare for me, to have this kind of experience. I spend a lot of time with people and in places sometimes it's not safe. That's a little frightening. Oftentimes confusing and difficult to understand. And I'm talking about in the streets. It's one thing to sit in a pristine, sanitized room in a very nice and, safe area and talk about these people or them and what they're going through and what they need. Yet, never spend time with those who we're trying to figure out what they need. And I experience things that I wouldn't otherwise. And I see, miracles occur. Even when people are still struggling to have something that they can anchor themselves on, to have an opportunity to really believe that you can achieve your goals and your dreams, is wonderful. There's a young lady, okay, by the name of Zethitra, Zethritca, Edwards, who has formed a nonprofit called Till Then. And Till Then, mission and focus is to address those issues that have significantly harmed and limited our women, and particularly our black women, from availing themselves of the opportunities that they seek. We're talking about sexual exploitation, we're talking about prostitution, we're talking about substance abuse, and we're talking about hope. Okay? To see someone who once struggled and was labeled as useless and not capable do what most of them couldn't be done is awe-inspiring.
Oh, that's a beautiful story. That's a beautiful testimony. I love stuff like that, Dr. Fleming, because we know that it works, that the word works, the word changes life. As you were sharing that, I was thinking about it. You saying that that you look around, you see these things, and that young lady, she saw some things. Isaiah says in Isaiah 35, verses 5 and 6, I believe, and it says that God would open up those blinded eyes and unstop those deaf ears, And we can look around and see that we can make a difference. We can look around and see that God is still working in the heavenlies and he's bringing it down to earth. Sometimes people say, what would you have me to do? You know what? To me, that's an oxymoron. God is telling you what to do, but you try to choose what you want to do for the Christ. Well, what would you have me? What you mean? It's homeless people out there. It's people incarcerated. You're God Lord give us a whole menu of things to do, but you don't have those eyes. So I hear people say that, I just shake my head, man. Don't you know? what would you have me to do?
Awesome.
Go ahead,
Minister Jones. Here's what's awesome, is that the eyes that need to be open and ears unplugged isn't always the people that we're working with who we think eyes aren't open and unplugged. What was awe-inspiring for me and some others is that we became aware that our eyes weren't fully open and our ears unplugged, because we had limited what we do with some people, and we had in some ways predetermined what we thought they were capable of doing based on our perception of that person. And that person showed us that it's a two-way street, that we're learning as much, not only from her, but from others, then maybe they are actually learning from us, given the opportunity, the time, the support, and resources. I'm learning from her things that I wasn't even aware that I needed.
That's so true, Doctor. You know, that's part of ministry. I'm not only meeting your need, but I'm also addressing your needs. I can go out and give you something that, hey, don't benefit you. It breaks my heart. I see men and women that's living on the street because I'm doing part of the street. They walk around with 3 bags of clothes because people saying, hey, you need clothes. And people say, I'm going to take these clothes, but you need more than clothes. That's like a baggage to me. That's some other things that you need to address in the field. And I see guys with 3 or 4 plates. One plate is good enough. Because that food, you can't got nowhere to keep it where it started. So we meet the needs, but we not meeting their needs. And it's a twofold thing. So you said something there. That makes me aware of,
right.
Hey,
so
I got plenty of clothes, but what else can I do?
Yeah. We're enabling sometimes people. Sometimes, we create a level of dependency because we're giving people what they need as opposed to empowering people to meet their own needs. And then experiences like this open our eyes and make us remember that all people are loved by God, and that God has given all people a measure of faith and some ability, some talent, whether it's 1, 2, or 5, okay? And it's our job to be able to recognize that and then give them the things that they need and help them, what, to cultivate that so they manifest what God has embedded. And to see that happen is not only, exciting for the person, it's also exciting and rewarding for us, people like you, and Brother Daniels and other caring and giving people, to know that our efforts aren't in vain, and that we may not know who is going to respond to the call of Christ and recognize what he's giving them, but we know someone will. Our job is to take the gospel, to take the message, and not only in word, but in deed, and then recognize that it's God who makes all things beautiful in his time, and it's God who gives the increase. We just need to do our job and be good stewards and be good servants and to edify others and then to persevere, which means that you got to go through something. It isn't always easy. Okay? And I'm just so thankful that God loves us. I'm so thankful that God works through us and that there are people who love God, because his word says that you love me when you obey me. You don't have to understand all the time. You don't have to agree. You just have to trust and believe that I know what's best. And if I call you and send you, that is for the good. And so just do it. And, you're doing it. Brother Daniel's doing it. Faith in Texas, which is representative of hundreds of individuals from many different churches. And you know what? We don't think that we're the only ones. We know that there are other organizations, and hopefully through your program and others like that, we'll begin to what? To make the community aware of those vehicles, those institutions, organizations, and more importantly, people who are committed to help them live the life that Jesus Christ died for them.
That is so true. Dr. Fleming, we got to end it right now. We know that you have some other things coming up here, and you gave us a great platform that we can build on. We'd like to have you to come back at a later date. And please, 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 always bring to our attention some things that's going on around us, because I want to have those spiritual eyes and say, as Christ Jesus, what would you have me to do? Maybe just supporting what you're doing. You know, it's as simple as that. Thank you once again. Enjoy your day. I'm unable to make it to the meeting today personally, but please, please, please always inform me so we can share with our listening audience. Again, that address is 1111 West Markenburg. So please make yourself available to go over there. If not, use the information regarding the website, information Faith in Texas, and live free. I like that, live free, because I believe that being free on the inside is a part of living free. So I can remember that site. You know. So thank you, Dr. Flemings, and we're gonna release you from Rhett now. We'd like to have you to come on here probably about 30. Excuse me. What'd you say, doctor?
We'll be left.
Okay, great. We'd like to have you back here in about 30 days and see what else is going on. Keep us, because this is something we're going to do with a part of our program throughout the year. We're going to stay involved in community activity. We're involved in ministry, but God asked us to go a little higher and higher. And we want to just not only ourselves, but involve other people too, because that's power. You know, the church used to be the center focus point when I was growing up. When we had some problem and when we need some assistance of just being carried, we would take it to church. Now people feel like they have nowhere to go. And you're one of those voices that's in the dark, just hurling, just telling people, over here, Christ have need of you. So thank you, doctor. Thank you.
And hey,
amen.
Call and ask, you can help till then make opportunities for people to succeed and achieve. Felicia Edwards, till then, a nonprofit created to serve women who are struggling and dealing with sexual oppression, abuse, and so forth. To God be glory.
Amen. Thank you, thank you. That's a good closing note for you. And we're looking forward to seeing you in person for you to keep us up to date on what's going on.
Thank you, Minister.
Amen. Well, God bless you. God bless you. What a great interview that we had there with Dr. Flemings. Amen. He was telling us about Faith in Texas and Live Free and just giving us some information we can use. I ask you to go back and take advantage of that information that he shared with us. And now we have Dr. Flemings for our guest this morning. You too can go back and listen to this show in its entirety on Blog Talk Free on the Inside Lewis. And you have an archive of all our past shows, and we had a great run last year. We're looking for greater things to upcome for this year here. Amen. So we have Brother Daniels on the line here. We're going to bring him in. Brother Daniel.
Good morning, Rev. Lewis.
Good morning. Our guest is no longer on the line here. Thank you for your comments and your support of the program here. We had a great interview there with Dr. Fleming. But Brother Daniel, what do you got going on right now that's burning on your heart that you want to share with our listening audience?
Well, Rem Lewis, you know, like yesterday was the first start of I believe he's our 45th president. And we have President Trump, who was elected in the White House to be our executive in chief. So, as you have seen and we saw and everybody all over the world saw, we see all these protests and stuff that's going on. And you know, that's basically our country was basically formed by beliefs. But in order to come to a conclusion, you have to really learn how to listen. So yesterday, I listened to what President Trump was saying. Now, some of the things he said about helping the people of America, it kind of, you know, made sense. He's not a real good orator. You know, his vocational skills are kind of lack. But basically what he was trying to say, he was trying to tell us straight off that the government system in the past simply didn't work. You know what I'm saying? If you listen to all those talk shows, you listen to ESPN News and all those commentators, they were telling us that he was downing the Democratic Power Party and Republican parties. He was saying basically what they was doing all long time didn't work, and they wasn't helping the people. But I understand that. If you understand what I'm saying, Rem Lewis?
I understand, but you know, Brother Dan, he got to put some meat on the bone. you know, talking about it. That's what we're talking about in our program.
Okay, now
and
we got
how
many politics have you heard say the same thing? Not only Republican politics, you have always heard some Republican Democratic people say the same thing. We're gonna do this and we're gonna do that. And when they get in office, they might do one out of the four or five things that they said, or two things that they said they were going to do, because, as you know, they get opposition in the Congress, in the legislature.
Of course.
Isn't it?
And that's
so,
why we all have to
know,
one accord. So, Brother Dan, that's a challenge there. That's a challenge. We know that one man can't make a change on it. We know that he had to go through the legislative.
Let me share this, Brother Daniel, with you,
because we can't expect no one person to do things. We have to band together as a nation, as a group of people, to see that we hold our elected officials' feet to the fire. It's great, you know. We all say good things at a party. You know, I will tell you you better slice bread when I get there. But after things, you know, the men put up and put away, and the music is no longer playing, am I willing to stick to what I said? Am I willing to apply what I said in a honest and godly manner? So go ahead, though, Brother Daniel.
Okay, that's another thing. You said godly. To me, basically, he's the first president I ever seen that said the word God in his speeches. He said, God, we need to find God. We need to find God. You talk about President Trump all you want, but if a man basically said he needs God, I can't deny him. You know, I can't, and what I see around the country, I see people protesting and burning down stores. Where is your faith? You know, you got to have faith. This reacting and burning up stuff and knocking out, and I think about five police officers got killed yesterday. Man.
I know there's a lot of protests going around. I don't know the state of the injury or the damage and stuff, but that's why we had to come together with sound mind. That's why programs that Dr. Fleming has shared with us and other programs, you know, I had Derek Alexander from the Next Generation, how they intend to make a movement and protest, but do it in a peaceful manner to let our problem be addressed in a civil way. And so, like I said, we don't want to down our president right now, because we want to give him an opportunity to, you know, to show that he's able to do these things. I think everybody deserves an opportunity. And I see what you're saying. You are saying let's give him an opportunity. So we're willing
to give him a chance.
He has to put some meat on the bone. We're not going to dismiss him right now. We got 4 years. You know, we hope that he take advantage of all the time he have and not just try to do things toward the end of his term. So we want him to start at day one doing positive things, things that address the needs of those that's less fortunate, like myself and you. You know, we got jobs, we got a roof over our head, but that's just for this time here. Who knows what tomorrow
Who
holds tomorrow?
I don't like violence. I detest violence. I don't believe in people should hurt people, and through their ignorance and other people should get killed. You know, life is valuable. You know, no matter what color, race, or nationality, when a person, you know, loses his life doing a job in order to defend another person, that's a serious issue, you know, because of somebody else's dislike, disagreement, you know?
Yeah, and it's so true.
So
we have a minute or so before we get out of here. Man, you bring about some good comments and some thought-provoking that we need to be aware of. Brother, we're getting ready to get on out here. You know what? We need to address that later on in our program, the upcoming programs. We're going to get other people on both sides of the fence. I have some Republican friends, and we're going to bring them on here. We have some Democratic friends. You know, just last week we had Ms. Fowler. She went down there to the state capitol, and she was a part of the legislation down there and doing some of the things that Dr. Fleming was talking about. Dr. Fleming said that they're getting together. We're going to put on both sides of the fence, and we're going to see can we come together as one. Because we need Republicans just as well as we need Democrats. I like to have my man downtown on the Republican side, if I could phrase it like that. Because if I can convince him to address some of my needs, regardless of what party is in power. Is they're addressing my needs and allow me to be able to have a life that's fruitful and do the things that I need to do. I'm all for it. I'm not going to sell out.
Amen. Amen. You know, everybody wants to be free.
Yeah, I got brothers that don't have insurance, man. I don't want them to die because of lack of insurance, brother. You know what I'm saying? I have insurance, but I done been without a job. And when I lost my job, I didn't have no insurance. And that's dreadful, brother. So I want to make sure that these things are taken care of. Because one day we ain't going to be able to do what we need to do. We want to have things in place that we can continue to live a comfortable life and a productive life when we no longer can go out and work 8 hours jobs. Brother Daniel, we out of here, brother. We out of here. We out of here, man. It's been a great show. Thank you for your comments. Thank you, Dr. Flemings. He's steady listening. Dr. Flemings, thank you. God bless you. Looking forward to you coming on here again. Our listening audience, our switchboard is lit up. A lot of the people said they just wanted to listen to the program. So please listen and apply the information that you have heard this morning. It's never too late. Brother Daniel, we're getting ready to get out of here. Would you like to close us out in the word of prayer?
Okay. Heavenly Father, as we go out into our new session and our country is faced with this dilemma of protesting and injustice and people feeling that they're not unjust and not rightfully treated right, I ask the Lord to raise up the spirit of offense in our nation. We seem to be offended. Offense. So we ask God to rebuke the spirit of our land. That people feel like they haven't been treated right, and we're not getting what we want, or we're not being given the right, dealing the right card. So we ask in the mighty name of Jesus Christ to rebuke the spirit all over our land, in every city, in every state in America. We rebuke it. We no more death, no more killing, no more riots, no more unjust. So in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Daniel. And you've been listening to Free on the Inside, your host, Mr. Joel Lewis, our co-host, Brother Richard Daniel. And we encourage you to go out and be about your Father's business. We encourage you to make a difference in someone's life. Our theme is said, help change a life in Jesus' name. Help change a life. Do something that'll make an impact and have a purpose in someone's life. They say, hey, I'd like to do this. And you show them how God had no respect to a person, how he done for one, he'll do for another. Be safe. Be strong, be engaged until we meet again. You've been listening to Free on the Inside. Have a great weekend. Looking forward to speaking to you next week. God bless.